Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our Emmanuel, we invite you here. We want you to come to us today through your Spirit and bless this time of worship, to empower our singing, our praying, our speaking, our listening, our giving, our serving, so that you are honored as our Lord and Savior, and God is pleased. And so we pray for your advent here today to be felt and experienced in new and fresh ways as we celebrate who you are for us and we gather around the table and remember what you have come to do for us in providing our salvation. We are grateful that you have given us the privilege of praying as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's greet one another today. If there's a name you don't know, please learn it and share your own. They may not know yours. It is a lot easier to turn you loose than it is to call you back, but it's fun to watch you interact with each other and greet each other. And to me, that's so much a part, when you hear what people enjoy about a church when they consider becoming a part of it, is the warmth of the welcome they receive, the people that learn their name, that welcome them when they come, and that's so important. So this may seem like an interruption in the worship, but it is really a valuable time for all of us, really, and for visitors especially. There are some announcements to call your attention to. One is that if Sue McLean will be here on the 20th to provide music while Sergey is away, and she has left music on the front pew if you'd like to be in the choir for a day, and we'll be meeting at 8:30 in the choir room on the 20th. To sing the song and practice it and then present it in worship. So if you'd like to get the music today, it's right on the front pew in front of the piano. Now, when my wife wants me to pay real close attention to something she wants me to say, when she doesn't want it to go in one ear and out the other, she does this. Mike, cover your ear. Cover your bad ear. You need to hear this announcement. There are still pledges outstanding that haven't come in. Al Donaghy has given me a round to it. It's this little mint. We can provide it for you. If you intend to pledge your financial support to the congregation and its budget, its ministries for the coming year, there are still forms on the table in the back. It is not only not too late to do them, we need you to do that soon so that the committee can put together the budget, because it's based on the projected income from what you want to provide for the church in the future. So please, if you haven't done it already and intend to, get a form today, fill it out, and get it to Al as soon as you can, or if you want, leave it in the pew and we'll collect it. Take your down.
Also, if you would like to perform in the Christmas Eve service, or you have children who want to perform in the Christmas Eve service, please contact me either today or this week sometime so I can figure out what we're doing.
That sounds good. In the back of the bulletin, a couple corrections. Tuesday night, the Pastoral Search Committee will not be meeting. We had to change that. And the Board of Directors has already met. They met last week, so that they won't be meeting again this week. So two meetings, Pastoral Search and Board of Directors, will not be in. However, we will have communion today. You may have noticed that somehow got left out of the bulletin, and your pastor didn't catch it when he was proof texting the bulletin. But we have the table set, and we will celebrate communion. Bob?
In Sunday school, the high school class, this morning our lesson topic was putting God first. And the main verse we looked at was Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And basically what that verse says is if we take care of God's stuff, he'll take care of our stuff. And he's a lot better at taking care of our stuff than we are. So one way that this verse is being tested this week is in our upcoming Progressive Supper. We need five places to go to next Sunday night. Appetizers, soup, salad, main course, and in dessert. Thank you. Yeah, dessert. We can't leave out dessert. There's a separate compartment for dessert. So anyway, if you would be willing to host us, we'd love to come to your home and fellowship with you and eat with you. And so please see Sarah McKinnon. If there's a little note in the bulletin too having to do with just that. So that's next Sunday night at 5:00 that we're doing that. So please see Sarah about that if you'd like to help us out with that. And then tonight we're meeting here at 5:00 at the church to go Christmas caroling. We're going to be Christmas caroling over to South Shore Rehab, and Bob Craig is there along with one or two other members of our church. And then we're going to Colony House, and Grace Simmons is down there. I think there might be a member or two over there as well besides Grace. And then we're going to some individual homes, and we're looking forward to that. So if you'd like to come out and participate in that with us, the Christmas caroling, you don't have to be a youth to do that. You can be of any age and come along with us. And you don't have to be a great singer. We're just making a joyful noise to the Lord, and we're singing the songs of the season, Christmas caroling to these folks, and they love seeing young people, but they love seeing people. And we'd love to have you come out with us at 5:00 and to do just that. We'll meet here at the church, and we'll go on from there. And then there are a bunch of other announcements as well in the bulletin that you can read along with. And if you have any questions, please see me about that. But with that all said, let's go to worship.
I invite you to turn to page 1551 in the New Testament, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Mark is the shortest gospel. Many people also think it's the earliest, and that Matthew and Luke were able to use some of Mark's information when they wrote their own gospels. But Mark has the unique beginning, starting with the preparation of John the Baptist for the coming of Jesus in his ministry as the Messiah. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8 of chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thong of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Please rise and turn in your hymnals to number 269, How Great Our Joy.
If you have prayer concerns, please hold them up on those green cards and we'll carry them forward. The prayer list in the bulletin is fairly current. Would mention that Jan Cuneo has a procedure coming up tomorrow with something called interventional radiology that they're hopeful will find a way to help address the pain issue that she's having as well. So that would be for tomorrow. From Joy Corcoran: my arm and hand are healing slowly. Please pray for a quicker recovery. I see the doctor tomorrow and I'm hoping for good news. Thank you. Yeah. Are any other joys that you would like to share just for everybody to know about? Good blessings before we pray. Yes, Liz.
My sister Marge celebrated her 85th birthday this week. And, you know, it's just a blessing to me to have all my siblings, Christians, who receive the Lord as their Savior.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, congratulations, Marge. Yes, Jean.
Nancy is walking, driving, and helping me out again.
Amen. Amen. It's good to hear. Yes, Joy.
I'd like to praise God that there are so many people that are willing to help. Mm. There's so many things I need to
help. Oh, great. That's good to hear. Yeah. This is how God meant blessings to, you know, to be shared so that I can know it. But see, those weren't written down up here. But it's nice that all of us can hear the good things God is doing because it touches our lives in so many ways through the week. Let's pray together. Lord, our hearts are joyful because of your love for us. Joyful because you looked upon us in our sin, and rather than condemn us and send us away, you sent your own Son to become our Savior. Even from his birth, that was your plan, that he would grow and teach and call people into your kingdom and then die to atone for our sin, to set us free from the burden of guilt and the dread of condemnation. We are joyful today to know a Savior whose name is Jesus, to follow him as our Lord and Savior, to do so in the good fellowship of the church, where, as Joy has said, so many are willing to help and do for each other, to be the body of Christ, to help one another out in our times of need. We thank you, Lord, for the healing that Joy is feeling in her arm, and pray that it will continue and just continue as quickly as it can so that she's able to regain the full use of her arm and wrist as soon as possible. We pray for Jan that you will give her strength to endure yet another test tomorrow and bless her with an outcome that will finally lead to some relief from the chronic pain she is in. Pray to you on behalf of Daniel, this dear 4-year-old boy in Andover who is losing his eyesight to cancer. We look to you, Matthew Adams, and his diagnosis of leukemia, Wendy Cope looking for work, and Jody Killifer with the cancer returning. We pray, oh God, for these and others on our list who need to know that you are with them, that they are not alone in their suffering, that you have not forgotten them or abandoned them, that you are present, and only you can show yourself that present help in their time of trouble. We pray that you would do that through us, through prayers and through visits and calls and contact, but beyond that is that need for you to minister in their hearts by the presence of your Holy Spirit to confirm your love for them, to reassure them of your presence, and that you have their back. You will be with them. You will walk with them and strengthen them in their trials and their sorrows. We pray especially for those who are grieving members of their families and friends lost in the mass shooting in California and the one in Savannah that same day. And others, Lord, who are victims of crime and violence day by day, whose names we never hear about, whose stories don't make the news. We know and confess that ours is a violent world. It is filled with what seems like more hate than goodwill. It's the hate and the hostility that make the news and that just burden us. And we have sung that you would come and make your heavenly peace known on earth. And we know that until the return of Christ, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be divisions between people. There will be hatred and violence and death. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus. As we celebrate your birth, we look forward to the day when you will part the sky and appear in glory. Call us to be your people, to dwell with you forever. We are eager for that day. We pray that till that day comes, you would put in our hearts enough hope and peace and love and joy to not give up, to not close the doors around us in fear, but to be bold witnesses of the love of Christ, to share that love with those who need it most, to seek them out, to be the witnesses who you call us to be, confident that because you call us to do these things, you will help us do them. Whether it is raising funds for a need or going caroling to those who need encouragement, whether it is going on a mission trip or simply caring for a neighbor, making a visit to a hospital, whatever it might be, open our hearts to do the thing that's at hand and to do it with confidence, because you have called us to be the light of the world, and that means the world is dark. You called us to be the salt of the earth, and that means that the world is decaying. It's falling apart. By your Spirit, strengthen us to be your people who do not lose hope in these difficult days. We ask that for the glory of our God and for the good of the church and the world. Amen. Continue to worship now with our giving of tithes and offerings. There are no trays up here. It's just one of those days. If you are going to give to the retired minister and missionary offering, please do not put that envelope in now, because that will be collected later in place of the Deacon's Benevolent Fund. We're going to show a video now during the offering about that RMMO so that you can hear from missionaries and from retired pastors who benefit from it. So if you'll direct your attention over here. I don't know if we can leave lights off or not. But
Jesus came physically to this earth to be with us. He wanted to be among us, a part of us. And when we think about the retired minister and missionary offering, this is a community. And when we contribute to that offering, we're helping them.
Grace is the main issue of the whole. My life, you know, the grace of God. My grace you have received, my grace you should give.
A member of the historic Second Baptist Church in Detroit, Dolly Hillman served for years as a missionary in Nigeria and Haiti.
One of the things that happens to you in retirement is that you feel more or less forgotten, sort of useless. So when that check comes, it reminds me, oh, I'm not forgotten after all. Those years that I spent in service have not been spent in vain.
Reverend Doug Merchant served several congregations in New York State, working to heal the sense of disconnection that he experienced between different ethnic groups and social classes in those communities.
It was about 5 years ago that I realized that my vision was changing, that I noticed that when I looked at those white lines in the road, that they were rippling.
Reverend Merchant's doctor told him he had the beginnings of macular degeneration, an incurable eye disease that leads to blurry vision or a complete loss of sight in the center of your field of vision.
It does drive me crazy sometimes, because I just like to sit in my chair with a book and read it.
The RMMO offering helped the merchants purchase a special machine that enables Doug Merchant to read once again.
We are so thankful for the technology that's out there that allows him to be able to read and to see something.
The difference this makes in my life to have this machine is to be able to still read letters from my friends, to be able to read poetry, which I like to read a lot.
Garcia is still active in his retirement, training lay pastors in the San Joaquin Valley of California, and often uses his R.A. Willow offering to serve others.
It's a great blessing. I use it in the best way that I can to continue serving and helping people. I don't keep the money. I use it to give to somebody, you know, that is in need, because this is my love for them.
The RAMO is very important. What I can do, either as a retired missionary or as a recipient of it, is I can contribute to it, to try to keep that going, because it's dynamic. There's nothing like having somebody alongside you.
I received a lot, and it's all I know by the grace of God. The more you give, the more you get. It's through God.
There is a bulletin insert that describes the RMMO and has the heading Generosity Honors God. And on the back of it is a testimony from a retired ministry couple. But I also have this to share. I realize you wouldn't have known those people on the video, but you know this man, Reverend Robert Hinckley. Dear friends in Christ, as your former pastor and retired from full-time pastoral ministry, I'm happy to contact you about the retired ministers and missionaries offering. Living on a fixed income, it is a joy to receive a love gift of money at this season of the year. It is encouraging to know that we're not forgotten and that our labors for Christ and His kingdom are not forgotten. It is a real blessing, especially to those who are living on a very small income. Let me encourage you to give generously out of hearts of love for Christ and those faithful servants of Christ who ministered to you in the past days. Your giving really does make a difference and is deeply appreciated. Thank you in advance for your love and support. Fran and I send our best wishes to all of you. We have many happy memories of our ministry together for Christ, and pray that God will continue to bless each of you. Your friend in Jesus, Bob Hinckley. Again, we encourage you to hold on to your RMMO gift, and we'll collect that separately. And because it is a separate offering, it doesn't need to be in an envelope. There are envelopes that have been provided in the bulletins and the newsletter, but it'll be a separate offering, so you'll be able to, if you choose, just put in cash, and it will still go to the retired minister and missionary's offering.
Please rise for the doxology. Turn in your hymnals to number 290, As with Gladness, Men of Old.
Guiding star.
Please be seated. That song ends on such a great note of not having anything between us and the Lord, of being able to see Him in His full glory. It's time for the children's message, so if the kids who are here would like to come up front, we'll talk a little bit together before children's church. We've got at least one more time. Isabella says she knows your name. You know hers? Isabella. Great. Great. When I was your age, a little older maybe, at this time of year, every year, I would make a list. It wasn't a list of my favorite foods. It wasn't a list of my favorite games to play. You know what it was? It was a list of what I want for Christmas. Yeah. You have one, huh? Well, maybe somebody knows. Do you make a list? I wanted to bring, this is my granddaughter, Kara. She made this list. Real big letter, so whoever could read it would not miss anything. But she has things on it like Shopkins, which I think is a game, and a Lego set. No? They're all their toys. Well, do you have Shopkins on your list?
Nope.
Okay.
I got that for my
book. Oh, great. She said she wants lots of gum. And smelly pencils. Smelly pencils, I guess it smell good. Smelly pencils. So anyway, I was thinking, when we celebrate Christmas, everybody, you know, kids like to make a list of Christmas things they want for Christmas, but whose birthday is Christmas?
I know Jesus.
Jesus? It's Jesus' birth we celebrate, right? His birthday is Jesus. So when we have a birthday, we get presents, so I was wondering if it's Jesus' birthday at Christmas, what would be on Jesus' list? What does Jesus want for Christmas? Probably not lots of gum. Probably not more Beanie Boos. You think the Lord would want some stuffed animals? Maybe. I'm sure he likes them because he likes children. But if we look in what the Bible says, Jesus said, I want you to love each other. That's what he wants for Christmas. That's what he told us to do. I want you to forgive each other when you hurt each other. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to do that not just for Christmas, but all the time. And to be obedient to what God said and to read God's word and do all the things Jesus told us. Nice boots. I'll even have a bow. So when we make our list, it's good to remember that it's really Jesus' birthday, and you don't have to buy him things. You don't need money. You can love somebody without money. You can forgive them without money. So we don't have to be old enough to have a job and have money to buy things for Jesus. We can just do the things Jesus wants, and that makes Jesus happy. So we could all try to do that for his birthday at Christmas. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus, your gift to us as a Savior. And we pray that in the midst of all the material things that are around that can attract us and that we can desire and want at Christmas, we would remember what you want from us is to live like you, to love, to forgive, to care, to serve one another. And we would do this in Jesus' name because we love you. Amen. We have children's time, children's church. Who is somebody on today for Children's Church? Aha, there she is. If you'd like to go with Isabella and Miss Ann, you're going to have some fun with them, and then you'll see your mom and dad afterwards.
Okay. Thanks, Neil.
I think the wrong one has the microphone. Children's
always fun. It's a delight. I'm glad that we have it in our service. The text today for the message is in Isaiah chapter 40, page 1119 in the Pew Bible. I'm reading verses 1 through 11 of Isaiah 40. Words come to the people who have been exiled from their land. And God says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I say, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Amen. Lord, we pray that these ancient words from your prophet Isaiah would come to life in our hearing today as your Spirit takes them and plants them in our heart. We can so easily neglect or ignore or not heed your word. We pray that you will open our hearts and create good soil to receive your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever notice how when we talk to one another that the word "but" comes after the sugar and before the salt? As in, you know, it was a funny movie, but it was too long. Or that was a good sermon, but it was too long. Or that's a pretty dress, but the color is all wrong on you. Or that was a good game, but those referees. Whew. However, in the Bible, the opposite occurs most often. And the "but" is preceded by what is negative and bad. And then after that word "but" comes something good that counteracts what is bad. For example, in Titus 3, verses 3, 4, and 5, are these words. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, on and on. It's all negative. And then verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. So that all that bad stuff in verse 3 didn't do us in, because God saved us. But God. Same happens in Ephesians 2. We were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. So that word but in the Bible, although it's very small, is a game changer. And today's passages are no exception. The word of the Lord in Isaiah comes while the Jews are exiled in Babylon, far from their homeland of Judea and their beloved Jerusalem. During the years of exile, that city, that capital, that beloved town has languished. The only people left in it were the remnant of the poorest of the poor, who Nebuchadnezzar left behind when he carted off all the cream of the crop to Babylon. The ones like that we read about, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all the best of the young. So no one left in Jerusalem who can do anything for it. But now comes a new word from God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her hard service has ended. That hard service was God's punishment because of their sin. But now her penalty is paid. The exile is over and her children are about to return. Between Babylon and Jerusalem, the prophet says, the way of the Lord will open up, a highway for our God. That area is hard and rugged, but the valleys will be lifted, the mountains and hills made low, the rough, uneven places will become smooth and level when God leads His people home at last. And when God does that, if you're still open in Isaiah, verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. No wonder that is such a marvelous piece of music in Handel's Messiah. So after giving this comforting word of hope to Jerusalem, God calls this hurting city to be a herald of good tidings. Don't keep it to yourself. You've received good news, now go share good news. Go up on a mountain and cry out with a loud voice to all the surrounding cities. Here's your God. Here's your God coming with might and authority. Here's your God coming with reward and repayment. Here's your God coming like a shepherd with his sheep. He's gathered them, he carries them, he feeds them, he leads them. He brings them all back home. What a message of hope. And this hope is sure and certain. It will not disappoint them because of that word, but. If you still have Isaiah 40 open, we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. Because on the one hand are the people. In Isaiah 6, verse 6, it says, they are like grass. Their faithfulness is like the flower of the field. How frail is that? Here today, gone tomorrow. And we're all touched by physical frailty like that. Disease and accident and eventual death are going to claim everyone in this room. Physically, we are as frail as the grass of the field. The friends' physical frailty did not cause the exile. Moral frailty did that. The people had sinned so badly, so consistently, for so long against God, that God had to punish them. Human moral strength is as frail as the flower of the field. Sin besets us. Sin that we can't overcome. Sin we cannot defeat on our own. We lie, we cheat, we steal. We're selfish, insensitive, prideful, unforgiving, angry, greedy, idolatrous. And that frailty shows itself in how little we pray, how little we study the Scripture. It's shown in our silence and witness. It's shown by our resistance to serve and give and go. Our chains don't clank out loud like Jacob Marley's in the Christmas Carol. But we are in bondage to sin all the same. Our life verse might well be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because our moral faithfulness is no stronger than the flower of the field. Moral frailty is our name. So on one hand are these people, including you and me. On the other hand is God. We're grass. We're weak. We're frail. We fade. Verse 8. But the word of our God endures forever. But the word of God is not frail. The word of God is not weak. The word of God does not fade. The word of our God endures forever. And that is a powerful, life-changing truth. In Isaiah's time, that word of God was fulfilled. The people did return, and the city and its temple were rebuilt. And because the word of the Lord stands forever, centuries later, in due time, that word was fulfilled again. You heard it when the Gospel of Mark was read. The coming of Jesus Christ in his ministry as the Messiah is announced by those same words from Isaiah. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Through Isaiah, God's word of hope announced that the exile would end. God's word of hope through John announced a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So look at that. The very sins that beset us and bind us are forgiven once and for all. Our guilt is removed. Our sin remembered by God no more. The moral frailty that is our undoing is itself undone by the strong and saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. Because the word of our God is not frail. The word of our God does not fade. The word of our God endures forever. And although John was a mighty prophet, he announced the coming of the one who is more powerful than I. And so he says in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, I have baptized you with water. But, here it comes, something good. But, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that powerful baptism of the Spirit, you see, counteracts our spiritual frailty. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us inner strength to resist temptation. Gives us inner strength to overcome evil with good. Strength to endure hardship, even with joy. Strength to use our spiritual gifts to serve each other in Jesus' name. And strength to wait in confident hope until the Lord returns. By the Holy Spirit, we are led and comforted. We are taught and counseled. By the Holy Spirit, the words of the Bible take root in our hearts and they bear fruit for the glory of God. By the Holy Spirit, we become more like Christ. And by the Spirit of God, the church is called and empowered to cry out like Isaiah did. To cry out like John did. God says, get you up a high mountain, church. Lift up your voice and don't be afraid. Cry out. What shall I cry? Cry out. Here is your God. Yes, the government may be dysfunctional. Yes, gun violence is awful. The threat of terror is real. But here is your God who overcomes your frailty with his strength, your fear with his love, your despair with his abiding hope. Yes, we still face disease and danger and death, but here is your God who comes with power and might to rule over us. Yes, the challenges facing the church are daunting. Financial shortfall in the tens of thousands. The challenge to reach those who say their religion is none or that they're just done with church. The challenge to find ways to welcome the stranger and care for the poor, to raise the youth, to follow the Lord. The task of the church is enormous. But here is your God, who leads his flock like a shepherd. In Advent we say, here is your God and Jesus is his name. Here in this manger is your God, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God made flesh. Jesus born to redeem us from our sins. Yes, they crucified him, but God raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, they named him glutton and winebibber and blasphemer, but God gave Jesus the name that is above every name that can be named in this age or the age to come. Yes, they beat and belittled him, but God put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ, who's enthroned at God's right hand. Yes, they mocked and ridiculed him, but God made Jesus head over all things for the church. Because the word of our God is not weak. It is not frail. It is not fading. The word of our God endures forever. Church, in our baptism, Christ baptizes us with his Spirit to make us bold heralds of hope, who don't have to give in to the fearful prophecies of politicians and the fear-mongering that goes on in the media, to be bold heralds of a hope that will not disappoint us. Our neighbors need to hear the good word we share and need to see the good works that we do if they're ever going to know our God and know the hope God offers them. In a few moments, we'll be reaffirming the covenant of the membership of this church. May our conduct in those words reflect the Christ whom we serve and witness to the empowering grace of God in our personal lives. So may our own life, our life in Christ, just cry out, "Here is your God." And so through us, may the glory of the Lord be revealed again for everyone to see together. Amen. Our hymn of response is 292, "Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne." A hymn that kind of sweeps through the whole coming of Christ, his birth, and on to his redeeming death for us. I invite you to stand as we sing, and that will be followed by communion. be seated. Our service begins with the opportunity to reaffirm the covenant that you have taken as members of the church. So I invite you to turn to the back of the hymnal where those words are written. And if you're visiting today and want to just see the kind of life we try to live with each other, the promises we make to each other, this is a good place to see it. Let's read together. Having been led as we believe
by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ,
on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, and when he had broke it and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you."
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in this time of joy and hope, we thank you for sending your son as a babe, for his life to become a sacrifice for us. We ask that we seek the Holy Spirit in this time of many celebrations, and we ask that you will bless this bread, the symbol of your son's broken body. In his name we pray.
Ministering to you in his name, we offer you the body of Christ. With thankful hearts, let us take and eat the bread of life. Jesus took a cup and said, "This is the new covenant poured out in my blood for the remission of your sins. As often as you drink it, remember me."
Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a baby in this Advent season. We ask that you would have us remember that he came as a child, but his real purpose in his mission in life was to go to the cross for our sins. We thank you that he did go to that cross willingly without being forced. He was, gave up his life because of his love for us. So in this Advent season, we ask you to, well, we're looking for a gift. Remember the greatest gift of all. The Son of God was sacrificed for our sins, and he spilled his blood on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ministering to you in his name, we offer you the cup of our salvation. Knowing that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin, let us take and drink. And now we will receive the minister and retired minister and missionary's offering. pray. Lord, we thank you for these gifts and what they represent of our thankfulness for those who have served the church so faithfully as missionaries and ministers. May these gifts be to them a blessing this season and always. And may we never forget the contribution they have made to our faith and our life. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, one verse of number 426, which is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. 426. Verse 1. Forever. Amen.